Okay.
Father, Jesus, HS, I'll give you their love, as they always do, and I give you my peace. I have been sick for the past 2 weeks, so it's going to probably be a very short meeting. I did speak with Father, and he said, with much love, I greet all of you. Everyone is very tired lately because of the spiritual warfare that has been raging. Yes, your instincts are correct. Satan is not stopping for one moment to give you rest. I will now step in and detain his efforts. The world is certainly feeling his efforts. They are on edge, but I would encourage all of you to stay the course and fear nothing. I will give all of you more strength. Continue to help those who cross your path. Do not get discouraged if they do not choose to change their behavior after you help them. You did your job. Many are not ready to accept that they need to change and come to me more. Continue to bring everyone and their needs to me. I do hear you. I am proud of all of you. Many things will change in the coming months for all of you. My son is now talking with the apostles, so in a way the proverbial cat is out of the bag about him and this team. They will come and ask more of him in time. As for our friend Tom, I am moving the apostles' heart to help him. I know all of you are concerned for Tom and what is his end. If Tom could hear all the prayers that come to me on his behalf, he would become overwhelmed with the love they express when they ask me to help him. If the apostles choose not to help him, then I will implement Plan B. Tranquility will destroy the demon in Tom. Fear not, Tranquility, I am with you. He will not suffer any longer than I need him to. He is my Job of this time, and I will deliver him. I gave Tranquility my word, and I will reward Tom and his family beyond their needs to prove his faith in me. See, I have not changed in all of these years. Now, Team Subplanter, continue to serve me, fight evil, help the weak, and protect the bride. I am with you always. Does anybody have any questions? Okay. Someone does?
No, of course, when? when does this get to happen?
I am going to be, the Apostle Orlovsky's in Schaumburg this weekend, so I will walk up to him and ask him what's going on, because it's been almost 3 weeks since he and I have talked, and nothing has happened. So, Father told me to inquire about him, and then we'll go from there. So I would think that if they don't do anything within the next few weeks, then Tranquility will be allowed to step in and finish this.
Thank you.
I would like to thank everybody for your birthday wishes. I appreciated them very much. Thank you. You made my day very special. I wanted to ask how everything is going with the new team lead cycle program that we have in place, where your lead is supposed to have been switching out after every 2 weeks. Brilliance had asked me if she could keep one of her new lead angels on for longer than 2 weeks because he had a completely different personality than the other ones, and I told her yes. So if any of you would like to re-rotate any of your angels back into the lead position, that is your choice. But I want to make sure that you guys are actually doing this. It's important, again, that you guys understand who's talking with you, get to know their personality, you get to understand how they lead the team, how they interact with you, and if it isn't happening for you, then please let me know, send me an email, or give me a call, and we'll work through it to find out why. But from what I feel and what Lexis has been telling me, everything has been cycling through okay, and everybody's been having interesting adventures with their new lead because they're nothing like your standard lead angel was, which is why we're doing this. So, okay, any questions on that?
It's supposed to be 2 weeks, right?
Yeah, every 2 weeks they should step. Another one should step into the position. So at this point, you should have already had two. Okay. All right. I spoke with Brilliance yesterday. We have a charge. Her name is Lexi, and this is the first time that three of us healers have been involved with Lexi. Lexi is the daughter. She is 16 years old, Brilliance?
Yep, I believe 17 now.
17 now. I have been working with this family for close to 10 years. Her mom is very gifted. Lexi's very gifted. But Lexi also has an addiction problem with drugs and has been diagnosed with schizophrenia, which I don't completely agree with that that's her problem, but I think that it's a misdiagnosis because she doesn't know how to control her gifts. But long story short, she contacted me about a month ago because her and her friends were playing with a Ouija board. They opened up a doorway to hell, literally inside of her, and demons were pouring into her. They were clawing at her, pulling on her skin, scratching her, and scaring the crud out of her and her friends. I stepped in and worked with her for about a day, and then I handed her off to Trisus. Trisus went in and tried to help her. They found the actual hole inside of her that the demons were coming through. He managed to plug it up, but then things still did not get better, and when I spoke with Father, he asked me to hand her over to Brilliance. And Brilliance has been working extensively with Lexi, and I will now hand this over to Brilliance and let her share with you what's transpired.
So this is my first time, experience with, I have personal experience with the spirit of addiction, not myself necessarily, but family members. So it's not my first rodeo with the spirit of addiction, but this definitely is a learning experience for me working with a family, and especially this daughter that's gifted. I have to agree with Supplanter that I do not believe necessarily in the mental illness diagnosis of schizophrenia. I think that I know that she's gifted. I know that she sees things. And, again, Western medication or Western medicine wants to have a name for it, so they're going to call it schizophrenia. That being said, so after Supplanter had and Trisus had given me kind of the background on what had transpired, I set up a meeting with Lexi originally, and when I'll try to give the short version of the first meeting because the more fascinating learning experience for me was the healing that I don't even know if it was a healing, it was a remote healing while I was meditating and talking with my team. But anyways, the first time that I met her, for the first hour, she wouldn't make any eye contact with me. And once I did get her to make some eye contact, you could definitely see there was demonic presence because her eyes were really, really black. So we had a conversation just to get things started before the first sight healing where she was actually in front of me. And we had to have a conversation for about an hour beforehand because as many drug addicts or any, you know, addicts in general, they want a quick fix. And when I first got her talking to me, she said, well, so Jim and John say that you're supposed to come here, you're supposed to do a healing, and you're going to fix me. She was looking for a quick fix. But I was moved to have a conversation with her about her future. Lexi actually has a one-year-old son. Her mom right now has custody of him. And when I met with her, it was the first time that she was alone with Lexi because I was there. It was the first time Lexi was alone with her son in almost a year that he's been born. So because of just the energy, you know, the demons made it perfectly clear that I was not welcome and I was not wanted. I felt this overwhelming impression I needed to get the momentum changed. So we started talking, and that was very difficult at first, and I was given the impression to ask her what her goals were for her life. After 17 minutes, she couldn't write anything down on a piece of paper. I'd actually asked her to think about this before our meeting. She said she didn't have time, so I said, well, let's just write five things down. After 17 minutes, she didn't have one goal. She couldn't think of anything. And I understand that because the spirit of addiction doesn't allow you to think about your future, you know, unless you think about, you know, 1 second at a time. But I knew that to get her more engaged, to get her thinking about the future and change the momentum of the energy, because this demon has been talking to her for a very long time, that I wanted her to get thinking about her future, something outside of her next fix and what's best, you know, what does she need right now. So after 47 minutes and talking a little bit about what a goal would look like, she was able to come up with five goals. Then we did the healing, and obviously there was a lot of battling, a lot of warfare. Her foundation was being replaced by evil, and so any little bit of foundation she had from being a child of God and being, you know, just a human being in general was almost completely replaced by evil. So the team worked on fixing that and getting rid of evil and trying to help her put some of her created foundation together. in her second chakra, it was a hot mess of emotions and confused sexuality as far as, you know, the things that she has had to do to get drugs at a very young age without a high school education, without any type of education or job whatsoever. You can imagine that that was a really difficult chakra. In her Know Thyself chakra, she didn't know who she was. It was extremely confusing in there. It was extremely dark. Throughout her chakras, there was, it was just interesting that there were lots of rooms assigned to various people, various demons, various things from her past. In her heart chakra, I actually talked to her about this one room that was dedicated to four people, and I was describing the people and the room, and she started laughing. She goes, "Those are my roommates," because she was living kind of in a flop house with her four roommates all doing drugs, and she's dating her drug dealer. So we asked them to leave. And then after we were almost done with the heart chakra, there was this huge, huge hole, this huge portal, and demons were coming out of it. So the team moved this huge boulder in front of it. I know that Trisus had sealed it up, but I truly believe that until someone's willing to make a change, if they go to the same places and they do the same thing, that when you invite the demon or spirit or evil into your life, no matter what we do, no matter what we do to exterminate them, no matter what we do to protect them with rose bushing and asking for legions of angels to protect somebody, because she does have a guardian angel. And once in a while, I'd look at him and be like, "Are you freaking kidding me? This is what you call guarding her?" And I wasn't disrespectful. It was more like, "I'm confused." And he said, "Free will. Free will. And if she's going to continue to do Ouija boards and drugs and expose herself and be around the same people, she's the one who's actually reopening this." So the team put a big boulder in front of that and sealed it up, and we went through the rest of the chakras. And that was probably an hour and 15 minutes, and she and I had talked a lot about going into rehab. And we had a discussion beforehand, and after the healing, we had a discussion as far as her getting into rehab. And one of the things that she had said to me is she wasn't 100% ready to go to rehab, and until she's 100% ready, it's not going to work. And so I kind of laughed, and we started talking about who the spirit of addiction is. Not only is he the biggest bully, he tries to make you feel like he's your best friend when he's your worst enemy. And we talked about how he, being a bully, will try to isolate you from the people who love you, know you, pray for you, and want what's best for you. He tries to tell you that nobody else understands, only I do, because that way he keeps his victim and keeps their confidence. When the victim is doing really, really well, he's the first to say, "Well, come celebrate. Let's celebrate with me." And when things go horribly wrong in the addict's life, "I'm the only one that understands. Come, you know, come get your fix with me." So he pretends to be the victim's best friend while he's destroying your life, destroying your family, destroying your future, and destroying your relationship with our Heavenly Father. So anyone who has to deal with the spirit of addiction, feel free to call me at any time, because I'm getting to know him very well from just the work that I'm being asked to do. So I talked to Lexi a little bit about the fact that you're never going to be 100% ready. That's what the spirit of addiction is trying to tell you, but you're obviously ready for something because you're having a conversation with a complete stranger, and you just allowed a healing to happen, which is an extremely intimate, trusting experience. So the good news was her mom did get her into a rehab facility. It was a rehab/psychiatric hospital, and I was blessed. Father was very kind, and somehow, only in his way, he allowed me to go visit her a couple of Saturdays ago. I never get a free Saturday with a 2-year-old and a 6-year-old and two full-time working parents, but Father arranged it, and I was able to visit with her for about an hour and a half. She looked completely different. She had her light back. Her skin looked good. I could see the real color of her eyes for the first time. I mean, as miserable as she said she felt, she even chipped her tooth or something like that in rehab, she looked beautiful to me. I did not see any of this light before. So I visited her, and then things got a little bit rough. And her mom had texted me before I went to visit her that the night before I planned to visit her, her mom texted me and said she had something weird happen, that out of nowhere she was making dinner for her other son and her grandson. She heard the voice, and she goes, "I swear to you, Heidi, it was a voice that said, 'You can't have her, she's mine.'" And so I explained to her that only our Heavenly Father and Lexi can make a decision on what side she falls in, and that's, you know, evil trying to scare her, bully her, and not move forward with the plan. And I kept Uplander in the loop with everything because this was new territory. I mean, this isn't just helping someone get a little bit back on track. This is saving somebody's life. So Uplander agreed, business as usual, move forward. So after my visit with Lexi, then her mom texted me this week and said that when she had talked to Lexi, Lexi was now hearing the same voice that said, you know, you're mine, nobody can have you, and all this other nonsense and garbage. So I, in my travel this week, again, Father's so great, I was in a hotel room, and I was not going to be interrupted, so I went into a meditative state, and I figured I'd go visit her. So I got to the center of my mind and, you know, was grounding myself and getting ready to go, and my entire team was there. Now, just to let you know, for those of you that don't know me well, I'm not as, I don't have the gift of sight like a lot of other people in our team have. But in this kind of team meeting, for lack of a better word, I could actually sense all seven of my angels in my healing and surgical surgeon team, too. It was fantastic. I looked down, and I'm in full warfare gear. You know, I had stuff on. You know, you don't really have your armor on, but this was, I was packed and loaded. I had weapons and things that I don't normally roll with, and I've had some circumstances where I've had to be, you know, be in some real major fight. And in that moment, I was, and I'm going to be very candid, I was like, all right, we're going in, we're going to kick ass and take names. So we had a little team powwow, and I was feeling my energy going, and it was this kind of energy that, I don't know how to explain it, but it was a go in there, destroy, and get out. And for some reason, in a moment, I was given the inspiration, and I heard Trisus's voice from afar that reminded me that when we go up against evil, it's not about anger. It's not about, you know, killing and destroying. No matter how aggravated we get by evil, we are messengers of our Heavenly Father. We're not Jesus' prosecutors. We're his healers. And so before we went in, I took a moment to change the energy, said a prayer, and the team's energy just changed. We were going in there as healers, lovers of our Heavenly Father, you know, bringers of peace, joy, light. And I mention this because this was a phenomenon for me. Because if anyone knows me, I'm very passionate. I'm very all in, 100%, let's get this party started kind of girl. And I've now fallen in love with this little Lexi. I just absolutely want the best for her. So I have to say that I'm mentioning this change because it came in very handy when I tell you the rest of what happened. So we show up at the facility, and I had already asked my team before I meditated to please bind and sweep and, you know, get ready for us to go there. And Lexi was there, and, you know, we were killing demons and spirits and removing a bunch of dark energy. And ironically, this big, huge, ginormous dark demon was strapped to a chair, and he had his mouth was covered up as well. He had a gag on. And if that little moment of changed energy wouldn't have happened, I would have killed this sucker, because 2 seconds before we had our little team powwow and prayer to change that energy, I was ready to kill anything and anyone in my path. But I was given the impression not to take out my sword, but to pog this thing. So I'm pogging and pogging and pogging, and as I'm pogging it, this black costume, for lack of a better word, starts to fall off him, like water or paint would slide off. And as this blackness is going away, underneath all this blackness is the most beautiful creature that I've ever been able to see. He was in white, he was big and strong, and he was gorgeous. He was absolutely, I don't even know how to describe the beauty in this creature. And so, of course, I was confused. But in that moment, I thought, well, all of these demons were angels at one point. This must be what he looked like before he made a decision for evil. And so I took the gag off, and I thought, because I was exposed and allowed to see who he was, that maybe he's looking for grace. And so I asked him, well, okay, if anyone who really knows me knows, I had to give him a little lecture first. So we gently reminded him about, you know, who God is, the creator, what this angel's original purpose was, and, you know, he already knows how this is all going to end. If he doesn't know, he should read the Bible. He doesn't have to read the whole thing, just read the last chapter. It tells you how it's going to go down. And he paused for a second, and I was really getting excited because I thought, here, he was going to ask for grace. And then he gave me this big, ugly, snarly face look, and I just cut his head off. And as soon as his head hit the ground and rolled away, then he disappeared. So I share that with you because, and in retrospect and looking at this, oftentimes I get so caught up in wanting to kill and destroy evil, and just my momentum gets going forward and passes my own issues. You know, like I'm mad that Satan interferes with people the way that he does. And, you know, with the opportunity that we're given to seek and destroy, I had to remember that I am an ambassador of Christ. I am a child of God that tries to go in with as much peace, joy, and light. So as soon as I cut his head off, I heard Trice's voice again regarding the whole pogging, not to pog with anger, but to pog with light and love and positive energy. It's more annoying to them anyway. So then I went by Lexi, and she was lying there, but she was awake. And I said, okay, well, we're gonna work on you and my girls. Started plugging in and working on her, and I was inspired to ask Giselle to send some of her healing and comforting angels. These two beautiful female angels came and started administering to her. And when I say beautiful, they even had the big, huge white wings that, you know, many artists, especially from the Renaissance period, how they painted them. This is how they looked. And their energy was the yummiest, warmest, safest, kindest energy that I can remember being around, maybe besides Jesus' energy. So we're all working on her, and I have this salve that's in this pouch, and so I was inspired to rub it on her head and to rub it on her heart, and actually ended up rubbing it all over her body. And as I was rubbing this healing ointment on her, all of a sudden, this other Lexi sits up. And I'm like, huh, this is interesting. And at first I thought this must be her spirit. And I'm getting ready to talk to her, and all of a sudden this thing starts yelling and screaming at me and kind of swinging at me. So I pogged it, and as I'm pogging it, and I asked Simon, my lead light brigade angel, to help me pog it as well because I didn't know what was going on. Again, had I not changed the energy, and I'm confessing that it was a very kind of mean energy originally when we were going to go in to seek and destroy, had that energy not changed, I would have killed this thing. But anyways, as we're pogging it, it starts to shrink. And we continue to pog it, and it shrinks into this little tiny Lexi that you could fit in the palm of your hand. It was almost really cute, except the fact it was yelling and screaming and swinging at me. So I'm looking at Simon, and my lead light brigade angel, I'm like, what are we supposed to do with this? And he looks at me like, you're asking me. And so I was inspired to put it in a little pog ball. So it's kind of like a little hamster ball, except it's a pog ball. And I hand it to Simon, and he kind of looks at me like, well, what do you want me to do with it? And I'm like, I don't know what we're supposed to do with it. And as I turn around, after I hand it to him, another one comes up. And this one has a different energy. So we're pogging this Lexi. And again, it shrinks down to like the size of a mouse or smaller. And we put that one in a pog ball. Well, this happens 6 times. So now we have 6 little Lexis and 6 little Pogballs. And Simon's holding them, and we've got some more things that we need to take care of. He's like, what do you want me to do with them? I said, I don't know what we're supposed to do, but I know I'm not supposed to, I don't think that we're supposed to destroy them. So as I said those words to Simon, all of a sudden there was this glass box that was sitting right in front of us on the floor. And ironically, we put the 6 Lexi balls in there, and they all fit perfectly. And the lid closed, and Simon's holding this box, and he's like, what do you want me to do with this? I said, well, since we don't know what to do with it, could you please ask a messenger angel to come and take it and bring it to Father? Because if Father wants to destroy it, he can. If Father wants to loosen it, he can. When in doubt, I don't have the right to destroy this. So he gets a messenger angel, and this messenger angel comes and gingerly takes this glass box with all these miniature Lexis wrapped in pog balls and disappears. And I turn back towards Lexi, and now her true spirit is stepping forward. And she reaches out her hand, and as I take her hand, all of a sudden we're in this beautiful field, and it's warm and it's sunny. You can't see the sun, but it's bright sun, and it's beautiful little amber waves of rain kind of thing. it was this wonderful environment, and we're just walking and we're talking. I'm holding her hand, and we're talking about free will, and Satan is not stronger than our free will. It may be the hardest decision that we make in the day, but between the help that we get and the strength that we get from our Heavenly Father, we have to make a choice. So we had a nice conversation regarding choices and free will, and then all of a sudden Jesus shows up. And because I don't trust anything, because this was all new and weird to me, I, of course, have to plug Jesus just in case he's somebody that he's not. So,
he's okay when you do that, just so everyone knows.
I'm not going to lie. I was a little embarrassed because I could feel my POG energy charging because I'm, of course, thinking that this is someone pretending to be Jesus and I'm going to destroy anything that pretends to be Jesus. It's the greatest way to use God's name in vain. So I POG Jesus with every POG might that I have. And as I'm POGging him, he just gets brighter and shinier and happier. And when he goes, oh, brilliant, I stop POGging him. And he held Lexi's hand, and he started talking with her. And it was a lot of the things that were on my heart as far as, again, how much Father loves her, how much he loves him, the Holy Spirit. It was so exciting that I had to use every ounce, and those of you that know me will laugh about this, I had to use every ounce of my energy not to interrupt, not to stop Jesus, of course, but to be like, yeah, listen to him. This is what it's about. So I had to actually physically move myself away from them because it was just so exciting. And, you know, when you're in his energy, your energy gets even more excitable. And I run with a lot of energy that's barely controllable for myself. So I moved away, and they just sat, and they talked, and he hugged her. He put his arm around her, and he kissed her on the forehead. And then he kind of looked up at me and gave me one of those, like, head nods that says, okay, come on over. And she left. I held Lexi's hand. We were back in her room. I looked around to make sure that I asked for additional legions of angels. Supplanter had already sent angels, because even my angel, Lyris, the one I'm still wanting to spend time with, he's like, Supplanter already sent a legion. I said, okay, well, then it won't bother anyone if there's another legion here. So the whole place was on lockdown. We got rid of all the negative energy. And as soon as I was about to turn around and say, okay, we're done here, we were done here, and I was back in the center of my mind, and my music happened to be right over at that moment, and it was done. So, Supplanter asked me to share this story just because, one, I had never seen a demon that I was pogging turn into an angel, and two, Supplanter, you have a much nicer way of describing what the little Lexis were, so if you don't mind, I'd rather have you explain, because Supplanter explained to me what these little Lexis were.
Okay. Those were her spirit guides. Everybody, when they get born, they get a main spirit that's with them, and then Father sometimes on occasion gives people a spirit guide. The American Indians are probably more up to speed with spirit guides than most of us white folk or anybody else. But what they're there for is they're supposed to help us get through our natural life, where if we go to school or we get into a job and that little voice comes and says, "Man, have you tried this or have you done that?" That is what the spirit guide is there for. In time, we don't require them anymore. I actually had three when I had my first healing done on me with Zubin, when she taught me how to do all of this stuff. And she actually, Father removed them at the time. But that's what these things were. What happens over time is that they know that their time is getting limited. So instead of going quietly, they start to complicate the person's life, which I don't understand why that is, but that is exactly what these things were doing for Lexi. She had an identity crisis. She didn't know what she was supposed to do with her life. She kept doing drugs because she thought she was going crazy. So when Brilliance was in her space, those little balls were her spirit guides, and she actually removed them. I also wanted to bring to everybody's attention that not every single situation is a search and destroy moment, that there's an opportunity where you and I may be given an inkling to offer grace to our enemy. Don't ever let your guard down. Always go with your gut instincts. But I'm going to tell everybody that you need to control your emotions. I was very proud of Brilliance with the way that she, instead of going in with a search and destroy kind of mentality, she went in with a different kind of mentality of, let's see what this is, let's feel out the situation, let's see what this is all about before we make some snap decision. But she was justified when his face changed in taking its head off. because he was not going to come over to our side. He wasn't going to bend. So she was quick to take care of that situation. So I want everyone to be on the alert that when you're giving an energy healing, and maybe all of a sudden different things start popping out of the person's face, this could be, it's either going to be a demon, which we all know how to identify those, but if it's something else, then it usually is a spirit guide, and they don't pop out too often. I haven't seen them even in my 11 years of doing this, but I want everyone to be aware of it. That's why I asked Brilliance to share this. We should always be in control of our emotions, and even as Trisus had said, don't pog out of anger. Pog with a purpose, I guess. Let's try and take the higher ground. Our Heavenly Father is very angry at times, and he is justified in his anger. For you and I, we're just like he is, I guess is what I'm going to say. And there are times where our patience is waned, and we get frustrated, and now we want to take it out on the enemy. I can say for myself personally, Satan has received many a beating because of what he does. And in the past year, I have controlled myself. I have restrained my emotions many times where he's done something and I just let it pass. My retaliation against him is increasing how we liberate a realm. We're up to 60,000 now. Every time he does something stupid, we increase that number. I feel if we can steal souls away from who he thinks he has control over, that's more of a win than me giving him a beating, because he's never going to learn. He isn't going to change. Father tells me he's just going to be the most evil little angel on the planet. That's what he is there for, and we can't correct him. He's not going to listen to us. Always be on your guard. He may come pay you a visit. The spirit of addiction is a huge spirit. It is infiltrating many of our brothers and sisters now, and I need everyone to be aware of the fact that that is probably one of the most difficult spirits to deal with. We can't destroy it. It has to be the person's will that they actually stand up and fight against it. Recently, Jesus had me send an email to someone who's been fighting with this spirit for a very long time, and he said to this person, when you choose to fight this spirit, then I will personally stand by your side, and I will help you get through this. But until you choose, he's not going to do anything. So I would ask everyone to add that to your list of prayer. Pray for those that are suffering under the spirit of addiction, because it is debilitating.
Well, and I don't mean to interrupt, but with a lot of experience with the spirit, not only can we not destroy it, it's kind of like the spirit of fear, the spirit of confusion. The other thing about the spirit of addiction is other demons have already been present before the spirit of addiction. So you're not just dealing with one. And what I mean by that is the spirit of depression may get in first. The spirit of criticism may get in first. And whether that person is criticizing the outside world, saying, God's holding out on me, look what everyone else has, I have nothing, my life sucks, or the internal spirit of criticism that says, you're no good no matter what you did, or you could have done that better. There's almost like a primary spirit that starts, and once they gain ground, they open the door to bring in what I affectionately call all their brothers, sisters, cousins, aunts, and uncles. And eventually the spirit of addiction comes in, another secondary spirit that is a spirit of suicide. So the other difficulty is, although eventually the spirit of addiction becomes the primary spirit that with this person, you're not just dealing with one. The spirit of depression, the spirit of confusion, it partners with other spirits. And so, again, if anyone runs into that situation or needs a little bit more information. I don't know all the answers, obviously, but I'm happy to share one-on-one with anyone who wants a little bit more information about this creep. I'm motivated to say one more thing, because one of the biggest learning experiences for me, anyone who knows me knows I run with a lot of passion, and when it comes to, you know, being God girl, a bit of aggressiveness. For those of you, but the other side of me is I want everyone to have grace. I can't understand why everyone shouldn't be given a second chance. I'm one free will decision from being any other human being on this earth, and because of the compassion that this new perspective has given me, I can say that in looking back, if that angel would have looked for grace, I'm surprised that I didn't give him a 20-minute lecture on why he should reconsider his decision. So if you're afraid, because you don't have a very aggressive personality when it comes to, you know, slaughtering demons, know that when the time came for his head to be lopped off, it was instinctual. And I tell you this because before this experience for me happened, I was a bit concerned because not having the gift of sight for very long and knowing how confusing this can all be, I'm always concerned about killing something or doing something, you know, doing something wrong. And in that moment, in this experience, I learned that we went in with the right heart's attitude. We prayed about it. We had a little team prayer before we went in. We were filled with light and joy and peace before we went. I really am sad that that angel demon didn't make a different decision. But I'm excited to let you know that when that time came, it was instinctual. It wasn't because my nature would have wanted to give that thing a 20-minute lecture while he was locked down on why he should reconsider. But there was something instinctual about the fact that he wasn't going to change. So I just want to share that because that for the longest time, knowing what to do, when to do it, how to do it, I just want you to know that it will come. You will know, and you won't even have to think about it because I can't even say that there was a thought. As soon as he gave me the snarly, ugly face and his eyeballs turned, it just happened. So anyone who's concerned, who hasn't run into this or who has or is concerned what to do in the future in a situation, just have confidence to know that you're created for this, and instinctually you will know what to do.
Thank you.
Does anybody have anything else they'd like to share, comment on, solve? This is the part where you shine the brightest, come up with some solution to something. No pressure.
Hey, it's Lightstarter.
Yes.
Can you guys hear me okay?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, good. Thank you so much, Brilliance. That was wonderful. I love hearing the stories and hearing about Lexi, and it was so valuable.
Oh, thanks for letting me share.
Anybody have any other comment? Okay. Our next meeting is going to be Sunday, April 27th. I believe that's the last weekend of April. That meeting will be at 4 p.m. If nobody has anything else, then I will pray with you. Thank you for calling in. I appreciate your efforts. I love all of you guys very much. All right, so let's pray. Kind Father, we come before you and say thank you again for all the blessings and all the grace that you have extended to us over all this period of time. We look forward to these meetings every month, Father, because it's a time when we get to rekindle our hearts for each other, our love. It's where we get to hear a word from you. We always encourage us, Father. There's never a scolding. There's always a prodding. There's always a movement forward. There's always strength. There's always peace. There's always grace. There's always compassion. And we feel, Father, so unworthy most of the time when we approach you and ask you of something, but you are more than gracious to us every time, and you are willing to give us everything we ask. And even when we ask on behalf of other people, you are willing to offer to us more, not because we're special or anything, but because we are the ones that you have chosen to put in the thick of the fight, and we will not back down and we will not turn away. But it's through all these experiences, Father, through the team where we share things with one another, that we all become stronger and wiser. Because not all of us even understand everything that's taking place. And though, Father, we don't completely understand what your plan is at this point, except that we should protect the bride, protect the doctrine, defend, help those that are weak. We do that out of love, not because we feel we owe you anything, Father, but because we simply love you. And it's some way of us repaying you for all the kindnesses you have shown us. See the hearts of my team that are here. We love them so much, Father, and we are appreciative all the time of them. And anytime we think of any one of them, we can't help but smile. We can't help but get emotional because we know all of the things that they have lived through that have brought them to the point that they're at right now in their life. And we relive moments that we have shared with them, with you, and we talk about them often with you. And you always smile when we bring up one of them to you. And you are always so proud of how far they have come in such a short period of time. And how you've bound all of our hearts together, and how we share one commonality, and that is you. And even in times where we feel that we're down or we're alone, you always step in, you always encourage us, you always give us strength, and you even give us experiences to prove, Father, time and again, that this is nothing of our own accord, that it is because of you that we do these things. And there's always proof in everything that you are God and you are our Father. So see, Father, their hearts. See the concerns that weigh on them, whether it's for themselves or their family members, or perhaps a charge or a friend or a concern. Or maybe one of them, Father, has brought something to you on behalf of someone and said, you will take care of this for them. And because they said that, Father, and believe it, you will take care of that for their friend or their charge. Because you have sent me here, and I send them. And when they say something in your name, you have said, I will back them. That is a confidence, Father, that we stand in. It is not an ego, ever. It is so humbling to know, Father, that we have your ear and that we have this power and authority. We will never abuse it. We will always use it to help others. So now grant a special blessing on everyone. Even those who could not attend tonight, let their hearts burn and know that they are a part of us. There is no animosity towards anyone if they can't make it. Life gets in the way. But we have these recordings, Father. We have the notes. We appreciate that, too. Bless our friend Fred also for his efforts in keeping us informed and keeping the websites going, and see his concerns for his natural life, too. We never want to forget him either, and we don't. And, Father, the smallest thing that is done for any one of us, for those who go out of their way for our team, who love us, who pray for us. I receive emails all the time from people out of the blue that say, I'm praying for you and your team. Our team doesn't even know that, so we share that openly now. They are loved and they are cherished. We appreciate them too. Grant now, Father, anything we've forgotten. Provide a blessing over the weekend. Easter is coming next month. We look forward to that day, Father. It is the day that our big brother gave himself for us and rose again. And we wait for the day when he comes again. Provide, Father, what we need in strength and in health. We will not get discouraged. We will not get down. We will do as you have asked of us. We will stand and fight, and we will move forward. Thank you again for everything. Please cover something if I have forgotten it. But as always, according to your will we ask, know how much we love you. Thank you. Amen.
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 Have a good weekend.
Bye-bye.